Let's turn to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31, I want to pick up where I left off last week about those that have a tendency to beat themselves up about the past. I was out of the will of God then. I didn't do the will of God. This happened as a result. And so I know I didn't do the will of God. And they go back and with this hindsight, 2020 hindsight, oftentimes will steer you in the wrong direction. I think it's important as believers that we don't spend a lot of time thinking about the past. And I say that because by the authority of Scripture, we're told to forget those things which are behind and to press forward under the high calling of God. If God wanted us to spend time thinking about the past and what happened in the past and so forth like that, we would be very discouraged. But I'm so thankful that all that's under the blood. Amen? It's under the blood. You can go back and think about your regrets all day long and you'll do nothing positive for God by doing that. And so whenever we live in the past and we judge other people by the past, we're not doing God's will. I've been with people that said, "You see that guy over there? Yeah, I see that guy over there. He did me wrong back in the past." Yeah. Don't trust that man. Well, a lot of things have happened. A lot of water under the bridge. Brother Nevins was telling me about a man that spent 22 years in isolation. He got to meet him this week. He's now one of the prisoner chaplains. He is still in prison, but God wonderfully saved him. And now he goes to the worst of the worst in the isolation ward, and he preaches the gospel to him. Now, if I were stupid, I would say, "Oh, look at that man. Look what he did. He spent 20 years in isolation, and he's a wicked man. Stay away from him." You fool. Fool. Stop it. Now, I know that sounds unkind to use that word, but we all have the tendency to look back at somebody with all these negative vibes, and all we think about is what they did in the past, and you haven't grown, Christian, if that's what you do. You have not grown. God doesn't want us to spend time mulling over the past and all the bad things that happened and all these things. What we should be looking for is God's hand in the past and give Him glory. Do I hear an amen? Job, in chapter 31, and I spent time, there are 12 different statements that Job makes in Job 31. Where he looks back over his life and he brings up these different things. The first one that he does, and we're not going to go back through these again, but he said, "I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" Now what does he bring up here? "I haven't had impure thoughts toward another woman. I've lived my life in such a way where I have not lived..." It's not that could possibly be causing these problems right now. He was thinking like every human being. All these bad things have happened because I've committed some sin in the past. He lists 12 of these. And it's interesting when you get to the end of the book, chapters 40, 41, 42, you begin to see that God reveals Himself to Job in such a way, says, "You don't understand my sovereign will, Job. I allow these things to happen in your life, not due to your sin, but due to my purposes." Are you following, Christian? We have a tendency to go to the negative. I mean, he's committed some sin. That's why that's happened. I have to raise my hand on that. And that is dead wrong. I don't know God's sovereign will, and neither do you. We see elements of His sovereign will given to us in His moral will that He's revealed to us. We pray, "Lord, may Thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven." Can anyone tell me what God's will in heaven is right now? There's not one of us in this room that can tell what God's will is in heaven right now. Now, what does that tell you, Christian? When I pray for God's sovereign will to be done on earth, even as in heaven, I don't know what that is. But I want it to be done, amen? Even though I don't know what it is. Because His sovereign will on earth may be sending me through some very intense trials, like Job. He went through some intense trials, losing his children, losing his possessions, his wife even turning against him. Would you not say that's some pretty tough trials? And Job was trying to figure out this one simple question. Why? Why does this happen? Why do these things happen? I'll give you for instance today. All right, I'm not a very smart individual. I had to do a 12-hour fast, go in for a blood screen today at noon. You know how hard that is? 8 o'clock was the last time I ate last night, and I went all the way to noon. My blood sugar was in the tank. My alarm was going off, and I made it there, and then I realized you forgot the paperwork, Todd. I had to drive all the way back home, get the paperwork for my dear wife, and I got back in the truck. I was late to my appointment. I walk in the door, and they said, "Are you Brian?" I said, "Brian Brainerd?" "Yes, come right on in." I was late. There were people sitting in that room. They should have gone ahead of me because I was late. But God in His mercy just said, "Go on in there." I walked right in there, got my blood taken, did all the things I was supposed to do, and walked out the door in 5 minutes. Now, that was just the mercy and grace of God. I didn't deserve it. I forgot my paperwork. And I brought it in and I handed it to the lady. And she said, "Come right on in and sit down, Mr. Brainerd. We've been waiting for you." I said, "I know you have. I know you have, but thank you so much for getting me in." Now, I didn't deserve that. I forgot my paperwork. I had to go back and get it. I was late getting there. But the Lord in His goodness said, "Come on in. I'll let you be done." I don't know. I fully expected that I was going to wait for probably 30 minutes to an hour. Because they work on a clock there, buddy. They're running them in and out. I asked the lady in there, I said, "How many of these screens have you done?" 25. That was just from the time they opened till noontime. 25 poking people. All right? Now, I was just one of the cattle, you know, going in there, you know, and get your shot and do all the stuff that you have to do. But I fully expected, and God just, "Come on in." You and I have got to come to grips with the fact that we do not know God's sovereign will. And we just live by faith. We live by His moral will. That's the element of His sovereign will that He's let us know. But He didn't tell you what color socks to buy at Walmart. And He didn't tell you what time to go make your appointments. He didn't tell you how, you know, what kind of car to buy. There's all these things that we just use wisdom to make decisions by. This is the point for many, many years, I just lived under pressure that I wasn't going to do the will of God today. I was going to be outside the will of God, and it was such a relief off my shoulders when I realized God doesn't have a prescribed minute-by-minute thing you're supposed to do and try to figure out. We're supposed to live life according to the wisdom of His Word. Now, if I'm about to cheat somebody, I know I'm outside the will of God. Right? If I'm trying to manipulate somebody to get what I want, I'm outside the will of God. How do I know that? Because that goes against His moral will. But if I'm honestly trying to help somebody, and in the process of helping somebody, something happens, all right? That doesn't mean I'm outside the will of God. Things happen because God has a sovereign plan and will. And we pray, "Lord, may Your will be done on earth even as it is in heaven." So the moral will is what we do. And Job here gets hit face to face with God Almighty. "Job, you spent all that time talking about the 12 things in chapter 31 about the, it couldn't be this, it couldn't be that, it couldn't be this, and trying to explain to God what it couldn't be, and the whole point was, you don't know, Job. You just don't know, because I'm a sovereign God, and I allowed these things to happen to you, not because you sinned, but because I have a greater purpose. I want you to grow closer to me. That was the point. I want you, in the spite of the fact that you're being oppressed by Satan, I want you to rest in me. It's not about trying to figure out what sin I committed. He wasted that time. And that's why God said to him, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel?" They had all missed it, and that included Job. Don't ever forget that. He had those four friends, but Job got it wrong too, because he was trying to figure out what he had done wrong. So what should we do about the past? We could all go back and we could write a long, long list of all the things that we did wrong in the past. What you do is you confess it to God and then forget about it. You confess it to God and forget about it. Let's go down some things that you should, well, I've already got it up here. Number one, when you reflect on the past, reflect with a renewed spirit and mind. Now, what do I mean by that? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit of God renews your mind every day? That's what's supposed to happen. When you study God's Word and you reach into the depths of God's Word and He's teaching you, He's renewing your mind and your spirit within you. So I have to look back at the past with a renewed mind and spirit so I can understand it properly. We can all look back and say, "Boy, I see where God stopped me right there. Stopped me right there and sent me on another direction. He kept this from happening." That's God's hand. I see that. I was reading about a missionary couple who left New York City in 1932 to go to South America. They went there and their ship sunk. They were able to make it ashore on lifeboats, able to make it ashore in the wrong location. They eventually were able to get a train to make it down to the thing. They had one problem. They lost all their belongings on the ship. Everything that they brought for ministry was at the bottom of the ocean. They began to question, is this what God wants us to do? They got to their location and they told their story, "We've lost everything." And they were flooded with people that didn't even know who they were. Gave them all the supplies that they needed to get them into a place to live, supplied all the things that they needed. And many of them said, "Tell us about what your purpose is." And he said, "I came here to preach God's Word." And they came to listen. They learned the language from the people that they ministered to. God used them on the field for 50 years. Countless thousands came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But it was a hard road. It was a hard road that they had to travel. You see, there are things along the way that God just allows to happen so that we can be strengthened in our trust in Him. Trust in Him. I want you to be a missionary, but I didn't say it was going to be easy. Sometimes it's very, very hard. George Black was the one that told me that story. The couple was the founder of the mission that George Black was saved under and came and served until he was 103 years old. But this couple went through a shipwreck, losing all their stuff, arrived where they were supposed to be, and God just started opening doors for their mission to grow all throughout South America. Today it's called the Gospel to South America. That's the name of the mission board. And it was started by a couple that overcame the obstacles. It would have been very easy for them to say, "Oh, we've sinned, we made the wrong choice because all these things are happening." Stop with the humanness. If you want to know what humanism is, that's what it is. Humanism is trying to find a human cause for why things happen, and it fails to see the supernatural cause of why things happen. And we need to get our eyes on the Savior. So the first thing is, when you look back with a renewed mind and spirit. Number two, trace providential pathways. Steps of faith reflect God's providential care to be remembered and praise given to the Lord. You can look back and you can see these events and then see God's hand. This ministry started in a very tough spot. The land we got from Santa Rosa State Bank, south of Avalon, looked very good until they drove a bulldozer onto the property. And then it became a submarine. You imagine how disappointed Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs were at that time? They'd invited Dr. Bob Third, Dr. Fremont from Bob Jones University. They had several different men that came out for that opening day. It rained and poured and rained and poured. And the bulldozer sunk. Do you remember that, Fran? Wasn't here at the time. It was awful. What are we going to do? Maybe God doesn't want us to start a Christian school. He sunk a bulldozer so that we would know that. But you know what God did? He provided the property that we are on today. God did that. God wasn't against Christian education in Santa Rosa County. He was teaching His people, trust me, rest in me. Your life is not guaranteed to be trouble-free. And all of us can give testimony. We can stand up right now and go right around the room of all the troubles that we face. Not trouble-free, but it should be trustingly we rest in the Lord. All right, Lord, this obstacle's in our pathway. What should we do now? And God opened doors for the property right here with options to add 40 acres of land to each one of those as time went on. So we would have the property that we have right now. I love watching the digging that's going on. They're digging up all kinds of stuff from the past out there. Pieces and parts of Coke bottles and stuff from the past as they're digging around trees and so forth like that. And you realize that God had this place already picked out, ready to go. When they faced failure, it looked like the end of the dream, so to speak. But it wasn't. It was God revealing, this is not where I want it put. I want it over here. God can do that. And that's not a bad thing. You can kick yourself. You'll walk around, man, we shouldn't have chosen that property. That was stupid. No, it was where God could bring more glory to His precious name. So we've got to get over this mentality of kicking ourselves in the shin and blaming ourselves. Oh, that was crazy. We should never have done that. Oh, no. That was the way God revealed Himself in His might and His glory and His praise. And didn't He do that for Job? Oh, in a mighty way. At the very end, He gets all of His children. God gives Him more children. God gives Him more than He ever had before. God restored him and then some. Number three, look for the fruits of the Spirit. Do you know what the nine fruits of the Spirit are? If you don't know them, you need to memorize them. What's the first one? Love. What's the second one? Oh, we kind of go from the high peak down to, well, joy? Joy? Yeah. God's revealed that the Spirit of God produces joy even in the midst of all the things that happen in this world. Can you have joy in a hospital? Can Brother Travis have joy at this time? Oh, it's very painful right now, but he can have joy in the Lord because he's God's child. Think about it, folks. The fruits of the Spirit that are listed there in Galatians 5, and you need to look at them, are simply self-revelations of Christ in your life. They're self-revelations of Christ in your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Go down the list. They're gifts of Christ in us. And we can look back and we can see how God was working and He was revealing Himself in those events. Fourthly, understand, and this is a big one, understand that you and I do not know, nor can we understand the sovereign purposes of God and what He allows. Job, I don't think, fully understood what all that happened. God does not tell him that He allowed Satan to persecute. Nowhere in the book of Job do you find where God says, I allowed Satan to do these things to you. Never revealed that. Now, it was revealed to us. It was recorded, right, the intervention that went on, the interaction between Satan and God. But Job didn't know that. That was withheld from him. That big piece of information. Job did not understand what was going on in heaven. And neither do we. We would like for the rapture to happen right now. I don't know when the timing is. And by the way, the Father is the only one that knows. It's not my job to go through the prophetic books and be like the Da Vinci Code and try to figure out whenever He's going to come back. The Bible says very clearly, no man knoweth. Get a grip on it. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. Stop it. Yeah, but I made $1 million on the books that I sold on the Da Vinci Code, figuring all this stuff out. No, you didn't figure out anything. You didn't figure out anything. We don't know what the sovereign will of God, other than the elements of it, which we call the moral will that He's chosen to tell us. And then notice the next one, please. Embrace the limitations of our being. And this is another big one. You have to get a grip on the fact that we are limited. We're limited. We don't have an idea. We don't even know what's going to happen when we get home from church tonight. Well, I know. I'm having ice cream. Well, what if your freezer broke down and you get home and it's all puddled on the floor? Make it. Honey, get the crank out. We're going to make ice cream tonight. Yeah. We don't know. There are things that happen during the day that we just don't know about. And we get enlightened on them. Of things that happen that we didn't plan on happening. We've got to embrace our limitations rather than trying to put them under some cover of intelligence. Or I'm the wisest in the room. I understand all these things. No, we don't. Embrace the limitation. I embraced my limitation of mathematics years ago. I did it before I ever got into Mr. O'Pager's algebra class. I just said, I'm limited when it comes to that. You know what I found out last night reading the biography of A.W. Tozier? Self-educated man. He failed every math test he ever took. He struggled with math. Ended up leaving high school. And yet God used him in a mighty way. Some of the greatest books that I have read in my life were written by A.W. Tozier. Just a man of God that God just showed him things from His Word. And he was not an astounding speaker. He was rather drab. But whenever he shared the Word of God, people came to life. They loved his teaching. How many of you have heard J. Vernon McGee? I love J. Vernon McGee. But he was from Texas. And he had a drawl. He had a Texas drawl. And he got criticized all the time. Letters of say, it takes all I can do to listen to you on the radio. All right? So they let somebody's drawl keep them from hearing the Word of God. And yet others said, I don't mind the drawl because what you share is about Jesus Christ. We got to get past a lot of things. I don't like my doctor because my doctor doesn't have the bedside manner that I expect him to have. Does he know his stuff? Yeah, does he know his stuff? Well, he knows his stuff. Well, then be quiet and let him do his stuff instead of analyzing his voice patterns. All right? We've got this emotional mentality that we have to judge everything by how I feel. All right? We got to get past that. And we got to recognize that God has truth for us. And sometimes the mechanisms by which He shares His truth are through channels that we would not expect. If we were to bring the Apostle Paul into Grace Bible Church and have him stand here, he'd be around 5'4". All right? He would not be a pleasant figure to look at. All right, from all the descriptions that we have of him from secular knowledge, he was not a man that looked like somebody that should be an apostle. And yet, God used him in a mighty way to be a messenger of the gospel to the Gentile and to the Jew too, but specifically to the Gentile. God often uses messengers that we wouldn't choose, but He chose. And we need to step back and stop being so critical about the messengers and start listening to the message. That will help us to grow. This last one here, embracing the limitations of our being. If you're going to put somebody up here and take pot shots at them, then why don't you get up there with them? You take the blows. Oh, not me. I just like hurling them. You know, keyboard warriors. They get on there and they talk nasty. And yet when you fire someone at them, boy, they go nuts. They can't take it. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. We need to back it up and understand our limitations and appreciate the fact that God's not limited. Amen? He's not limited. May God help us in this hindsight idea of looking back and it was so terrible, the things that I did. Put it under the blood. It's already under the blood if you're a child of God. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And look back and see the goodness of God throughout the time. Instead of looking back at all your troubles and problems, look at the goodness of God. And quit trying to second guess why things happen. There are things you don't know. Trust God. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this series. It's helped me so much. And I pray to be a help and a blessing to your people. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.